What I'm going to do tonight, I want to just share with you a few minutes. We will not finish. Probably that's okay if we don't. Not a problem. But I want to talk to you about a subject that I'm sure probably is not common to all of you, but some of you will understand what it is. How many know what it says when I say a playbook? How many have an idea? Good. Two people do. Three people do. All right. Great. Well, if you're involved in professional sports or high school sports of any kind, playbooks are designed to help the team reach the highest level of excellence they possibly can. Now, there's a lot of things about playbooks, and we'll look at that in just a few minutes. But what they do each week is provide a game plan for the coming up game on Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, whenever it is. And they take time. Lots of film goes on the floor, cut up, and lots of people talk, and coordinators, et cetera, et cetera. Well, as we look at this from a little different viewpoint, if we can, looking at our first portion or a good thing about playbooks as a believer, we want to look at it from a spiritual standpoint, and there are some things that remain constant about playbooks, okay? As we look at a spiritual side, this is, I think, some real exciting reasons why. The scripture tells us in Psalm 32, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, as God prepares a plan for my life, a game plan, guess what? He has promised that the steps will be what? Ordered of him. That's a pretty positive thing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and notice what it says, and he will direct your path. That's a pretty positive statement. We live in a pretty chaotic world. We live in a world that's kind of upside down. And yet as we look at this Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, if we do the things it told us to do, we adhere him in all of our ways, God will supply and of course, will direct our paths as part of the playbook for us. Now, another thing that's kind of exciting about playbooks don't stay stagnant forever. But they start out at a certain level where we are. And as our skills in terms of the athletic world increases, as our ability to do things with balls or whatever we're doing, footballs, basketballs, doesn't matter, the playbook changes to compensate for those differences. Now, there are some individual stars, and I don't want to call your attention tonight, not important, but many people who are in the professional world in terms of sports, they change, their name is brought up a lot, they do fantastic things, unbelievable things. As we look in terms of scriptural tonight, looking in terms of a playbook for us, the same potential and possibility is there for us. God has a tremendous plan for each and every one of us, and we're going to look at some details relating to that tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and 4 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each person a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. The same is true in the athletic world. You can illustrate it very, very easily. We don't have 11 quarterbacks on the field at one time. And as we look at the process here, what he's saying to us is, all of the members do not have the same function. But God has brought us together collectively to fulfill his plan and his game plan for us as individuals, also for us as his church. Now, as we look at this, the first question, I guess, it's kind of obvious. If you go onto an athletic field and talk to people, they know what position they play. The same question could be applied to us in terms of our spiritual, and that is, do you know your position in this entire process? Do you know your position in our church and in our Christian world? Excuse me. Now, God wants all of us to get into the game and become involved that can bring glory and honor to his name. He doesn't want bystanders just to stand back and look. He wants people to get involved in what God is doing and what he wants to do in our particular church, in our particular world. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 and 4 in the Message Bible tells us this. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we are taking about or talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of the body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? PowerPoint. Because this is becoming a little difficult to use. Okay. So anyway, he was talking about a chopped off toe, chopped off finger. That's true. We wouldn't be much value in use. But as God pulls us together with different abilities, as God pulls us together at different levels in terms of our life, good things can take place and God can be glorified through our life as we continue to serve him. The dynamic of God is that he is always at work and involved in making playbooks. He wants to bring the kingdom of God in a greater dimension, not only in our lives, but in the people that he puts in his path. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." What he is saying here, I think, is he expects us to be in a position so that when opportunities come our way, we are ready to accept them. We've often talked about, and you've heard talked about, divine appointments. Many of you in this room, I'm sure, have had those, where divine appointments have occurred and happened in terms of your life. And what he's saying to us here as we look at this verse is the fact that he wants us to be ready. So when opportunities come, opportunities arise. The same is true in the athletic world. People who are running backs, for an example, are constantly looking for holes and opportunities to run and to escape and to score the points that they're there to do. So, as we have that whole process, then God is saying to us, he wants us to be in a position that is ready to go so we can fulfill his plan and purpose in terms of our life. As we look at a second phase here, discovering and finding out our position in God, the important thing to know is who we are in Christ. Given the mind of Christ and having been made partakers of his divine nature. Now, as we look at our entire basic goal, our goal is to become as much like Christ as we possibly can. How many are striving? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. But we're working toward that, aren't we? And what he's saying to us here as we look at this process, then, that we are like Christ. We begin to think like him. We begin to act like him in terms of our life. And the more like him we become, the more glory we bring to him, not only in our own lives, but also the world around us. And so as we look at that process, that's a really important one. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Just as an athlete has to know what he is capable of before making great plays, we must also know who we are in Christ, so we don't go out and try to flounder and do it on our own. We're told in Scripture, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, let me just share with you, I guess the PowerPoint would be a different translation, but that's okay. One of the things he tells us that's an absolute regular instilled part of our gameplay is the fact that we are more than conquerors in him. 8:37 of Romans tells us that we overcome not in our own strength, not in our own power, but we overcome through him because he wants us to be, and notice the word there, he wants us to be more than conquerors, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. God has great things in store for us as we reach out to him and let him continue to move and work in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "He always leads us in triumph." I love that. How many like to be triumphal? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. All of us do. We all like to be victorious. We all like to come out on top. And what he's saying to us here as we look at this is that he always leads us and guides us into triumph. The third thing that I think is really kind of key and important as we look at this particular aspect, that is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And that basic thought is this, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I don't know if you've ever fallen on your face when you try to do something for the Lord, when you try to do it in your own strength. But when we turn around and look what Paul's saying, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and who enables me and who makes me where I can do things that will bring glory and honor to his name." This is our position in Christ from which we operate. And I guess the question we ask is, what can you do for God based on that? And the answer, I think, is the playing field is wide open. we can accomplish anything at all with God's help, with God's anointing, and with God's special leading. God prepares the way. We simply walk through it. God prepares our hearts. We simply walk through it and allow God to move and minister in a powerful way in terms of our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, we find these words, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." What a beautiful verse. According to his own purpose, not our works, not our desires, not our own thinking, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before our time began. In other words, we know the game plan. Whatever our position is, it will center around God's purpose and God's plan for our life. Therefore, it's important for us to know his game plan. So let's take a few moments and want to share some scriptures with you again that will help us in terms of knowing how to do this in the most effective way. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said he was going to build a church of which the gates of authority of hell could not prevail against. His authority and rule will be established in the church. What a powerful statement. God is doing great things across America. He really is. Doing great things here at Jubilee. Doing great things other places as well. And even though the enemy is pushing as hard as he possibly can against it, guess what we just read? That he's going to build a church, period. Build a church that will overcome the powers of the enemy. Second thing we can look at in terms of our, knowing God's purpose and will in our world today, the earth shall be filled with his glory through his body. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 23. What a beautiful statement that makes. Notice again he says, the earth shall be filled with his glory through his body. Now, are we part of that body? Absolutely. And what glory comes through our lives and through our beings to the outside world is what he's talking about here in a positive way. Is that part of our game plan? Yes, it is, and a very important one. So we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, Christ shall be manifested through his body as the church comes into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. We are all being changed and conformed, notice what it says, into his image. What a beautiful place to be. What a beautiful thought to be. Haven't arrived yet. It's amazing how much we deal with the old flesh and how many interference things come with us. But what he says to us here, that we are looking forward to being changed and really conformed, that's a beautiful thing. I thought about it in terms of the athletic field for just a few moments. There are players you observe and notice who develop a great deal of skill, and they are absolutely almost conforming their style of play to another player out of days of yore. As we look in terms of our Christian walk with God here, as people see the change that occurs in us, not because of what we do, but because of what God does, great things will take place and glory and honor will be brought to his name as a part of the game plan for each of us. As we look in terms of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, he says that the gospel will be preached to all nations as a witness. Guess what? We're a part of that. We're a part of that. It's a beautiful thing, too. I've had the opportunity several times within the last 2 weeks, and I'm sure you have, too, where we've had an opportunity to share, again, the goodness of God with somebody who doesn't know him. And part of this whole process is going to be preached to all nations as a witness, and then, of course, the end will come. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, his truth shall be established in the church, which is the pillar and ground of all truth. What a beautiful statement. We believe in the truth is the most important thing. And we know that the Word of God and Jesus himself alluded to that many, many times in Scripture. But it's an important thing. We are part of that. We are part, again, of disseminating the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who do not know him. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, talks about his kingdom and, will be established on earth as it is in heaven. What a beautiful thing. God is in the process of doing that, even as we sit here tonight. Have we seen the end of it yet? Not at all. God has great things in store, and I believe we're going to see great things in the days and coming up in the very near future. As we look again, let's take God's purpose and perspective and look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19, that the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice the next sentence. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Boy, what a loaded verse that is. What an important verse that is. Notice the last part. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. What an opportunity we have as we look at our playbooks and look at what God has in store and the potential that God has ahead of us. What a great thing it is to know that we are operating in God's power, not Bill's power. Bill's power takes you no place. God's power will take you any place. As we look at the process, and he says to us that our eyes would be open, that we can see that and understand that and see the great things, again, that God wants to make a part of each of our individual lives. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, it says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of the excitement of things ahead. And notice what he says again. The people who know their God, that's us, shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I remember the story, you do well too, of David in the Bible. And as he came and faced the giant, he was able to do that, I believe, because he saw it through God's perspective. He understood that David did not have in his own self the strength to take care of that giant. But he knew differently that God had given him time and strength before that, and he was willing to go and face him because of the opportunity, again, David had to show the greatness of God's power at work through him. Jesus constantly encouraged his disciples to have faith and to believe all things were possible to those who believe. What an opportunity for us as well. We have that same opportunity. It's possible that God can do anything. We've been praying and asking God for things around here. You've been praying and asking God for things in your own life. And we've seen time after time after time how God has demonstrated to us and how he has brought it about. Indeed, anything is possible if we can reach out and touch him and believe. And that's a beautiful thing. Not only in my own self do I believe, but I have believers who join with me. In our prayer groups on Wednesday night and other times we gather in Sunday times and whatever, we have an opportunity again just to exercise our belief and see God do great and wonderful things. I'm reminded of a tremendous miracle that God performed just not very long ago, probably maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And one of the ladies in our church had a sister who was developing cancers the size of golf balls at a very rapid rate of speed. And through the process of people praying and believing God and trusting God, the golf balls began to disappear. And tonight, the prognosis for her is a very positive one, not because of anything anybody did except God, but he came and he ministered in a very special way in terms of her life. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I think it's an exciting thing as we look in terms of game plans that God develops for us. But we could expect God to move supernaturally in our lives. It takes faith, it takes expectancy, and commitment to be continually used by God supernaturally. But God can do it. God can do it. Whatever our needs are, we need to take to him with that kind of faith and believe him to move and to minister and to do great things in our lives. I don't know if you recall Rich Weaver. If you did, fine. If not, you can probably find out some information about him. But I think it's kind of important to look in terms of one of his books and his writings where he talked about the fact that God had provided so many opportunities, again, for him to validate the power of God in his own life, which carried over to others. And what a beautiful thing. As the question he asked us tonight as we look at this, are we positioned to respond to the divine appointments God wants to bring your way? Thank you. Once again, are we positioned to respond to the divine appointments God wants to bring each of our way. And think of that in an athletic sense. As you look at the linemen on a football team, they aren't standing waiting for nothing, but they're poised and ready to participate and to act accordingly. In terms of our life as well, as we move through our world, as we move through our daily lives, through our neighborhoods, through wherever they are we positioned to do what God has called us to do and what God gives us the opportunity to do? So we look at the real world as well. One of the things that can affect our game plan very, very much, and that is as we allow wounds and disappointments of life to take us out of the game. As you think again of the athletic end of this world, there are people who get hurt every week, and yet they go into some kind of rehab, gather themselves, and come back out and begin to participate in the game once again. As I look in terms of each of our lives today, I'm sure it's hard to go through life without getting banged up from time to time. The trials of life have a way of stealing our passion and joy from us. When we lose our passion, we also lose our sense of purpose and destiny. We begin to care less about finishing the race as an overcomer and are no longer positioned for God to move in our lives the way He desires to. We have a tendency to settle into a place of mere existence as Christians rather than walking in the overcoming mentality and attitude that God has ordained for us, that we can fight and we can win. Paul said that I might finish the race. He was banged up, had every reason to quit, opportunities to be defeated more than anybody else. And yet through the process, he looked and said, I'm going to continue on and I'm going to finish the race and God's going to see me through. As we look at Peter's example as well, he had good reasons to wallow in his misery and defeat. He denied the Lord 3 times while the Lord looked right at him. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. He was severely wounded in the spirit. And yet we see Peter as one who came forth in a powerful way, filled with vision and purpose, making one play after another. He was continually perfectly positioned when divine appointments came his way. He was the one God used to usher the birth of the New Testament church. He preached the first sermon that netted over 3,000 converts. He powerfully stood up to the religious leaders in the midst of persecution and mockery. He was delivered by angels from prison. People were healed by coming in contact with his very shadow. He was the first of the disciples to raise someone from the dead. He was used to bring the Gentile believers into the church. He finished his course with faith and passion, even though he blew up big time on several occasions. What a beautiful testimony those two are as we look at Paul and look at Peter. What an example for our lives as well, that we too would be able to stand up even though we oftentimes get knocked down or brushed aside or bruised or whatever the case may be. We'd have the opportunity again to rise and to be able to do what God wants us to do and see Him do wonderful things in terms of each of our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 through 13. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for you feel, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. As we look in terms of culminating remarks for this evening, I think that God is wanting to do great things in our lives. Let's put on the armor of light and be about our Father's business. I think He wants to use us and bless us more than we can comprehend or even imagine. I am excited about the future, and I'm sure you are as well. It's much more exciting than just coming to church and waiting to see what God's going to do. It's a great thing to have God perform and do things in our life during the week and come and share those on Sundays with other believers. What an opportunity we have as God writes our game plan, and He does. And it changes from time to time. But God wants to do great things through this body of believers, through us as individuals, that will bring glory and bring honor to His name. We can focus on the negative side, or we can look at the bright future and say, God, we want to be a part of what You have in store for each of us. We want to be a part of the game plan that You are writing for us, that we can be more than conquerors, that we can see victory ahead, that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are God and you are a mighty God. Father, tonight, we are thankful just again for your goodness and for your mercy. Thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given each of us to serve you. And Lord, we pray that our lives can become more and more like you than they ever have before. Father, that instead of just seeing us, God, they will see you in a powerful way. And Lord, as we have the opportunity of sharing with other people, God, they will sense a difference and they will sense the impact. And Father, will begin to change their life as well as they invite you into their hearts and into their lives. Father, I believe you have great things in store for us ahead. And Lord, we are looking with great anticipation to those days when you will share how you move and minister through your power and through your might in each of our lives. We thank you for that. And again, we're just expecting great things as we surrender and give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.